East Hampton City Arts will be presenting a program, Grist for the Mill, featuring Michael Musto of the Village Voice and Mickey Boardman, who is the editorial director of Paper Magazine at the Boylston Room in East Hampton on Thursday, April 6th at 8 p.m. Kicking off the third annual East Hampton Book Fest, the pair will explore a range of topics, including the role of the artist and writer in times of political and cultural shift. Michael Musto joins us this morning to give us a preview. He is a correspondent for the Village Voice, where he wrote the Entertainment and Nightlife column for 29 years. He also writes weekly e-columns for Out.com and Paper Magazine, as well as articles for the New York Times Style section. I believe the last time he was with us was years ago, and we did a broadcast from Lincoln Center, and we were thrilled to have Michael Musto, and that was the last time, sadly, he was on the show. But we're delighted that he's with us this morning. Michael, good morning, and how are you?
Oh, thank you, Joe. It's great to talk to you again. I'm doing well, and we're really looking forward to coming out to East Hampton. We've never been to Western Massachusetts, Mickey and I, and we're going to talk about a diversity of really fascinating topics, including our current political climate and the role of the artist in that climate, as well as the role of social networks, which I used to resist. I didn't want to join Facebook. People had to force me, and now I can't live without it, so...
I was going to say, it would seem to me, I certainly understand the reluctance, but I also, it seems to me that given your outspoken nature, that it would be a wonderful venue for you.
It is. It's a great way to vent. It's also a wonderful way to find like-minded people. And, of course, you can't stop people disagreeing with you in the real world, but if they disagree with you on Facebook, you simply block them and unfriend them. So it's a wonderful way to kind of weed your garden and control the people who listen to you and respond. And it gives you a fake sense of fabulousness, because when you leave the house, you're like, wait, where are all those wonderful people who love me on Facebook? Where did they go? By the way, Joe, this event, as you say, it's called Grist for the Mill. This is the first Grist for the Mill speaker series. Mickey and I are speaking next Thursday the 6th at 8 p.m. at the Boylston Room, and it's kicking off Book Fest, which is an all-day citywide event happening in East Hampton on Saturday, April 8th. And this is the third year that they're having Book Fest. And most of those events are free and they're open to the public.
It's a great thing that they're doing, and we'll give a website out at the end of the segment as well. When you talk about the arts in this current political climate, what do you make of that? Do you think that the community has fully gotten its head around what they're up against right now?
Oh, absolutely. We knew right away what we were up against, and Trump has been true to all the horrible things he promised, including trying to cut down on the arts. He's going after the National Endowment for the Arts. He's going after public broadcasting. Basically, my life would be over if all of that happens. I celebrate artists, and of course, Hollywood and the creative community loathes Donald Trump, except for John Voight, and... basically, he's fighting back by trying to eradicate artistic things. What kind of leadership is that? The amount of the national budget that goes to things like the NEA and public broadcasting is so slight compared to the overinflated war budget that we have, billions of dollars spent killing people. It just seems a very disjointed kind of ethics that he's employing.
So when I say know what you're up against, I also, I guess, was implying, and I would be interested in your thoughts on you've been in New York for a long time. Even before this guy even decided he was going to run for president, you've known and lived around the world of Trump. So what has that been like and that gives you, you know, such an idea that you were well aware of what you were up against?
Well, I always found him kind of a buffoon. He was basically a businessman who screwed a lot of people over on his route to fame and wealth. He also was a reality show star. We know that that's based on braggadocio and bloviating and saying ridiculous things. That's not appropriate for the White House. We don't want somebody tweeting at 2 a.m. ridiculous things that enter their mind. But the artistic community thrives under oppression, just like nightlife in New York fought back under Mayor Rudy Giuliani in the 90s when he tried to squelch all of that. Similarly, the artistic community, creative people, all types of people, women, LGBTs, immigrants, are all gathering and fighting back against Trump and taking to the streets in record numbers. It's really inspiring. And it's made a difference. All those women's marches did make a difference when it came to the health care plan being voted down.
So when it comes to events like this, and you have a group of, I would say, mostly like-minded people who are going to come see the two of you speak, And just from the events that I've been a part of over the last several weeks, everyone asks the same question, which is, what can we do? And I assume that's going to be a topic that's going to come up next week. So do you have an answer for that yet?
What do we do?
Yeah.
Meaning,
what do we, so if we are concerned, if we're greatly concerned about where we are as far as the arts and where we are about, well, quite frankly, as you mentioned, keeping your job, what do we do? Because people feel like they have this energy and that needs to be focused. And my curiosity is what you recommend that people do to make a difference.
I recommend that you continue being vocal, whether it's on a blog, on Facebook, whether it's calling your congressmen, your senators. It really makes a difference. We're taking to the streets in record numbers. We're being noticed. And just keep fighting. And if you're an artist, keep creating. No one can stop you from creating. You can always find some venue to do what you do, and it will resonate if it's any good. So just keep on keeping on and keep fighting back. It's inspiring to see the reaction. We feel united in a way that we haven't in many, many years. And I'm really old, Joe. I've been through, Nixon and Reagan, and we got through them. We're going to get through Trump, and we'll emerge, culturally enhanced and very proud of ourselves for doing so.
So do you think, and I don't mean you, I guess I sort of am asking you this, but I don't mean to, which is that because people are saying that this is the worst it's ever been. Do you believe that's the case or we have gotten through worse things and we'll be okay this time?
We've gotten through worse. I mean, I love the way George W. Bush now is being lionized and there's a sort of softening of his image and a rewriting of history. Let's not forget he was basically a war criminal. He led us into war under false pretenses. I think he should be in jail personally. But now people are saying, well, next to Trump, he seems kind of sweet. Well, let's not forget the past. Let's not rewrite the past. I think he was worse than Trump. However, Trump has only been in office a couple of months, and already he's tried to peel back human dignities and rights and try to block immigrants and build a wall against non-existent Mexican rapists and strip away LGBTs of rights. So he's doing pretty horribly. At the end of the 4 years, if he does last that long, and I don't think he will, he might end up actually going down in history as worse than W. Bush.
As you mentioned, you've been doing this a long time. As you look at the decades that you have been covering the arts and covering pop culture in New York, what do you see your role as, and how has it changed over that time?
My role has always been a combination of going after the big guys, the people that run the culture, society, politics, and calling them on their stuff when they're homophobic, when they're just phobic in general, or when they're oppressive. And at the same time, I lift up the everyday person and lift up the left-of-center performers, the drag queens, the trans people, the people who make a difference in the New York nightlife scene. And I treat them as big a celebrities as I would major movie stars. So I'm trying to level the playing field where I'm celebrating the underdog and also taking down the powers that be that ruin everything.
So the second part of the question being, how have you seen that change over time? Has that role gotten easier as your voice has become stronger?
Well, I used to be one of the few people who were, first of all, openly LGBT in the media and also calling out people for their hypocrisies and their phobias. Now everyone has a venue. Everyone in the world has a Facebook page, it seems, or Twitter, Instagram, blogs, whatever. And that's wonderful. Everyone has a voice. It makes it harder for me because I used to only have to compete with a handful of columnists here in New York. Now I'm competing with everyone on the planet. But what makes me special, in my opinion, is my tone. It's not so much the information I have, but it's the way I relay it. I'm sort of a humorist. And I have a very unique take on things that nobody else can replicate.
When the two of you speak on the 6th, what you mentioned, some of the things that you want to go over. Have the two of you had these conversations? Is it going to be like we are listening in, or or are you?
We want people to feel like a fly on the wall.
Yes,
absolutely.
Okay.
Mickey and I are dear friends.
Yeah,
and we do have these conversations. So it's going to be interesting to do it in front of an audience. And by the way, I welcome dissenting opinions. I don't like name-calling. I don't like people who say, you're a so-and-so. How dare you say such-and-such? But if people in a civilized way want to disagree with me about Trump, that's welcome. Everyone has a right. This is a democracy. We have a right to voice our opinions. And I want people to not only feel like they're observing a personal conversation, but take part in it, because we're going to open the event up to the floor for questions from the audience. And to me, that's always a favorite part of an event like this, because I get to tell people exactly what they want to hear about.
And you never know what's going to happen.
Not necessarily what they want to hear, but it's a topic they want to hear about.
Right. And you never know what's going to happen. You never know what they're going to ask. And it's spontaneous and fun.
And it's lively. People create a stimulating conversation. I love doing events like this. I think it's really going to be fun and stimulating.
East Hampton City Arts will be presenting the program Grist for the Mill, featuring Michael Musto of the Village Voice and Mickey Boardman, editorial director of Paper Magazine of the Boylston Room in East Hampton, on Thursday, April 6th at 8 p.m. Michael Musto, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for participating, and we look forward to having you in the region on the 6th.
Thank you for having me. Take care now.
Thanks very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.